one other announcement. We have the very first service of Miss Elizabeth, who is here today. And so y'all give Miss Elizabeth a round of applause for joining us. The newest member to the Lewis family. And so there's just a sweet, sweet little girl. So thank y'all so much for bringing her. It's good to have her here. In Jeremiah chapter 28, this may not be another message that you have ever heard before. I don't hear it very often. It's not one that is promoted in my circles. And I have to hold everything through that lens. Because how many of y'all know the Bible's a really big book? There's a lot of stuff in it, and a lot of stuff that people can focus in on, and you can get wrapped up in, and you can never leave. As a matter of fact, we quoted from Psalms 119, and that is the longest chapter in the Bible, and you can stay there for a very long time, gleaning all the wisdom that is from God's Word inside of that one chapter. But in Jeremiah chapter 28, I wanted a sermon that was kind of a one-off sermon, one that I could preach, and it would be something that was a part of our new year, something that was a part of our theme, something to do with the will of God. And so I actually, up till this morning, I had a sermon planned, and it was one of my favorite sermons, and I was, you know, I've just read it, had it in my pocket, and I was like, this is it, I'm going to preach this. And then this morning, God's like, probably not. And that never happens. That is the absolute most different. I am completely not ready for stuff when God does that. Because most of the time when He leads me, I know that's where He wants me. And I guess that this week it was just my personal, I wanted to preach this message. But Lord placed this one on my heart. We're going to be in chapter 28 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 28 and the name of this sermon is The Problem with Good Messages. The Problem with Good Messages. If you would, please stand. We'll read the first few verses together. And we'll start in verse 1. We'll go through the entire chapter today. So I will be reading a good bit. But in Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, and in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and of all the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again unto this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the captives in Judah. And he went into Babylon, saith the Lord, and I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. And then the prophet Jeremiah said unto him and the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this day. And Lord, I thank you for this sermon. And Lord, may your will be clear unto us and help us to recognize, not to see it through a filter or a vein, but Lord, help us to see it for what it is, the true, unadulterated, unblemished Word of God. And Lord, may your will be present in our lives. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we do pray, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. In case you're unaware, Jeremiah has a very interesting story. If you've never read the book, it's not an uplifting book by any means. Jeremiah he is also known as the weeping prophet. Everywhere, every chapter, it talks about him preaching, it talks about him wailing, it talks about him crying, crying out to the people, have them to repent, have them to come closer to God. And it is his desire that he would see God's people be reunited with their God. And so we see Jeremiah, this weeping prophet, and we see them all in this room with all the priests, with all the prophets, with all the people who decided to come that day. And this guy, Hananiah, comes up and he preaches this amazing message because Now, I'm going to say this, and I know that some of you have complimented me so well, that God's presence rests on not just one preacher. Amen? I mean, the churches that are down the street can have God's presence at the very same time as He's right here. To me, that's amazing. That God's omnipresent, powerful presence would be right here and over there and across the seas in another country at the exact moment. It's an amazing concept. Jeremiah knows that he's not the only prophet. And so he's sitting there with these people, and Hananiah preaches this great message, and it's completely against everything that Jeremiah has preached that he's called for at this present time. He's been calling them to repent. He's been calling them to go back to God. And Hananiah says, look, God's going to fix everything. It's a good message. How many of y'all, you like to go to church and feel, see and hear and hear the good messages and feel that good spirit and get your goose pimples and all? And you know, and you can just say, oh, God's been good today. It was good singing. It was good fellowship. It was good. But then there's a problem. Because what we learn in this text is that sometimes the good messages isn't what God wants us to hear. Look at what he says as we continue on through this text. In verse 6, he says, even Jeremiah, even the prophet said, amen, and the Lord do so, and the Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all that was carried away captive from Babylon into this place. The pastor, the prophet of God, said, hey, I want these things to happen. May it be so done. And then you see in the next verse, verse 7, he says, nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears, in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known, and the Lord hath truly sent him. And Hananiah the prophet took the yoke of the prophet Jeremiah's neck, and he broke it. Now listen, this is something I want you to be real clever of, and I want you to remember this. There was a yoke, an oxen yoke, that Jeremiah carried around when he preached, when he was around his people, to show that they were an enslaved people, not only to the Babylonian king, but to their own flesh. He was preaching with this yoke, and imagine, if you will, just me standing on this platform, and as I preach, I have this oxen yoke, this heavy place of wood, and Hananiah would take off this, and he would break it to symbolize the freedom of his people. Now, how many of y'all think that's rather bold? He was doubling down, if anybody has ever understood that statement. It means that I got called out, and I'm going to call them out again. I'm not backing down from this. I want my people free. I want God to free our people. I want our things back. I want our people back. I want us to be a nation again. All great and wonderful and perfect things. And it's something that Jeremiah wanted too. He says, so let it be. He says, but understand this. We're not going to consider that a real thing until it actually happens. He says, right now we're slaves. He didn't like that. So he took that yoke and he broke it. Look at verse 11. He says, and Hananiah spake into the presence of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord. I'll get into that in a second. He says, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, in the neck of all nations, within the space of 2 full years, and the prophet Jeremiah went his way. So what is he supposed to do? The prophet who has been preaching, hey, turn back to God, the prophet who's been saying all these things, and now this guy comes up, takes his yoke, breaks it, and he says, hey, in the span of 2 years, God is going to do this thing. He is going to redeem you. He is going to fix all that has been broken. And in 2 years' time, God will give us blessings. And so Jeremiah goes, huh? Okay. If he's going to double down, and I'm just going to double down, and it's just going to be a repeating process. And it's like, hey, I'm just going to leave. I'm done. I'll take it for what it is. It's good. It's all great. And then in verse 12, things begin to change. He says, then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke off the neck of the people Jeremiah saying, "Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, and thou shalt make them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and that they shall serve him. And I have given him the beast of the field also." And then said the prophet Jeremiah to Hananiah, the prophet, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest the people to trust in a lie." Now, the problem with good messages is named the title, and I want you to remember something. There's nothing wrong with hope. Can I get an amen for that? There's nothing wrong with hope. There's nothing wrong with knowing that God's going to redeem His people and fix His people. But if God has called us into hardship, listen, we should not ask to be taken away from our hardships. We should ask to help us learn what that hardship has meant and help us to go through with our chins held high. He didn't take the fire from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and He didn't take the wave away from Peter. There's a lot of hardships that we face over in our lives. And listen, we are not called to a life of ease. We are not called to a life of blessing. We are not called to a life of rose petals and no thorns. We are called to a life of bearing our cross. So, and listen, and I know if you were coming today and you were looking for a happy, feel-good message for the rest of the year, you're not going to get it today. I'm sorry. I feel as if that if we would understand this one truth, there's nothing wrong with hope, there's nothing wrong with the good news, there's nothing wrong with redemption, but there is something wrong with not doing it in the will of God. I find out that a lot of times in my own self, if I'm going through a difficulty, it's because I made it for myself. That if I find that the Spirit of God is gone, if I find that I'm going through a valley, if I find that I'm going through hardship, a lot of times it is self-inflicted. And I cannot blame God for my hardships, but God will help me to get through them. So I pray, Lord, help me not do this again. Lord, help me to get through this yoke. Lord, help me to bear this burden. Help me to get through this and help me to be wiser. Help me to be better the next go-round. There's nothing wrong with mercy. There's nothing wrong with hope. But I want to say this so that everybody in here can understand. There's also nothing wrong with enduring hardship. It's okay to have a bad day. To be perfectly honest, I was cold, I was wet, I was tired this morning, and I made the statement to myself, I would rather be anywhere else than behind the pulpit. But the minute I got in here, I was fine. Because I know that this is where God wants me. Is it a hardship to come up here and preach with a smile on my face? Absolutely. Sometimes it's just difficult. Sometimes it's just plain hard. But once I get here, it's funny. Some of y'all I haven't seen in a while, and it makes me happy that you're here. And it makes me happy that my kids were playing. It makes me happy that everything messed up this morning. It makes me happy when my kids interrupt me and say amen. I love this church, and I can't help but smile and see God's grace on every single face. It is an amazing place to be. Amen? Amen. That was the best amen I've heard since I've been here. All year long, best amen I've got. Listen, there's nothing wrong with enduring a hardship. It's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to have a bad Sunday. But please don't let that get in the way of your walk. Don't let your circumstances dictate your worship. I can only imagine that Hananiah wanted the best for his people and that he saw suffering after suffering after suffering, hardship after hardship after hardship, and all he wanted was his people to be free. I believe that's where it came from. I believe that that message came from a selfish desire to have his people happy. Here's the thing, and I want you all to remember this. Happiness only comes after the will of God. If happiness comes before the will of God, you'll eventually find yourself not happy again. If you find yourself seeking after happiness and not the will of God, you will find yourself unhappy. If you seek yourself finding the will of God and not after happiness, happiness will always follow. Context is always king. Jeremiah wore that yoke from chapter 2, chapter 6, chapter 9. And as he continued to preach and cry and pray for his people to be gathered up, to have Hananiah just come in and preach a good message must have deflated everything that he had believed at that point, because he hadn't seen repentance. He hadn't seen redemption. He hadn't seen the change in God's people, but he took it for truth. Second thing I want us to talk about is this. The reluctant optimism of a weeping prophet. He was willing to accept the prophecy. I absolutely adored that for Jeremiah. He was willing to say, yes, whatever it is that y'all have. Look at what he says here, verse 7. Nevertheless, hear thou this. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 6. He says, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. Now, there's two things to this that I want to bring out. Jeremiah was called to the weeping prophet for a reason. He had a sad spirit. It's okay to be sad, but I want y'all to see it in this context. Even the man of God has the right to be sad on occasion. Even the man of God has the right to be sad. And he says he gave this hope, and he says, hey, listen, whatever you said, if the Lord wants us to be free, then I say amen. I want that to be had, but I want to take it with a grain of salt. I could preach this all day long. I really could. So I'm going to throw out nuggets, and hopefully you'll catch them. So here's nugget number one, or probably nugget seven by this point. You're going through some difficult times, and you want hope, and you cling to hope, and that's fine. But take it with a grain of salt. Be of the understanding that you're going to get through this, but it may not be the way that you want it to. You may not leave unscarred. You may have to carry this burden and the burden of somebody else in this valley. You may just have to bite the tongue and say, I'm okay with dealing with this for the rest of my life. Remember that. There are some things that, hey, listen, it's a difficult time in our lives, and I get that, and we can cling to hope, but the worst thing that we can do is cling to hope and it never come. And then by the end of our lives, as we lie in our deathbeds and we look to those that we love and we say, God never fixed me. God never helped. And then we spread unbelief rather than belief and strength. We need to be reminded that God helps us through our difficult times. He never, ever forsakes us. I'm going to keep pressing on. I've got 4 points today, so I'm feeling really tight on this message. God will always prove himself in the messages that he leads his people to preach. We have great comfort in knowing that God speaks truth. Amen. It is safer for us as Christian people by placing ourselves in the wrong rather than placing ourselves in the right. It is safer, it is more knowledgeable understanding of us to say, listen, I can have to carry the heavy burden. I was just saying this the other day. I would rather us be able to carry the heavy burden and not need it and be stronger for it rather than us not carry the burden than be weak when we need it most. Listen, I want us to be strong people. I want us to be enduring people, that we be steadfast people. But the only way for us to do that is to recognize that our punishments, the things that we lay, our valleys, our difficulties, are not things that God put on us unknowledgeably. That he did it for a reason. So I made this the last time I preached this message. I don't believe I've ever preached it here. But I made this statement. Nobody likes the word or the act of being a slave. Nobody does. Nobody likes to use the word slave. Nobody likes to have that connotation in their mind of a ruler, of a someone who had dominion, a lord over them, and that their lives were completely at the beck and call of somebody else. But I'm here to tell you this, that our lives as Christians, it's all about being a slave. We are either a slave to ourselves or a slave to God. That's it. There should be no negative connotation in the Christian worldview of this word, because it tells us that our obedience lies to one, that we should be willing to be slave to one or slave to the other. How many of y'all remember what Jesus said? He says, no man can serve. Either he will love the one or he will. That's what the Bible tells us. It tells us, hey, you have to serve God or serve mammon. There is no fence leaning here. You've got to be a slave to God or a slave to mammon. That is it. And so I ask you, as a people who go through burdens, are we willing to cast aside our slavery to self and our slavery to the world to be slave to God, and that our burden may be light? He says, cast your burdens upon me, for my burden is light. A lot of times we don't want to cast our burdens onto him because we like our sin too much. A lot of times we like to keep our sins and keep our burdens because we think that it's not our place to give it unto God. But the truth of the matter is this, is that we would rather be slaves to our flesh, slaves to our sin, rather than be slaves to God, who tells us to reject those things. As we continue on, throughout these just two more, and I may just end up on time, which will be a very good pat on the back for me. I'm not going to try and find this verse. There's so many verses I've talked about. But Hananiah, after the second time, and he doubled down, he says, thus saith the Lord. And then we learned, the Lord really didn't say that, did he? There's a lot of people who can sit up here on this pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord, and he really didn't. There's a lot of books and devotions that we can read, and it can say, thus saith the Lord, and it's not. The Bible tells us, hey, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of false prophets. People who are willing to say, thus saith the Lord, and he never did. This is one of the most burdensome things as me as a pastor that I have to, I am scared to say, thus saith the Lord. Unless I'm referencing a scripture verse, unless it's in the context of that one thing and that we can put ourselves in scripture, I will rarely say that phrase. I'm not speaking a good thing into people's lives. I don't believe in the name it, claim it philosophies of life, that if I want to be this or I want to be that, all I have to do is say it and God's going to help me have it. That is the most wicked thing that this world has ever taught from behind a pulpit. Well, probably not the most wicked. But the ideology of God is only a graceful, loving, compassionate God that wants the best for us, and that he only wants us to have a life of ease, that hurts me. A church that's afraid to talk about long-suffering, a church that's afraid to talk about hell, a church that's afraid to talk about sin, a church that's afraid to talk about redemption, is a church that is preaching the wrong message. This puts pastors in a very difficult place, because we want to be people of hope. We want to be the picturesque picture of redemption and of love and compassion and grace-giving. But sometimes life just gets difficult. It's okay. Listen, it's okay for the will of God for us to be in the valley at times. It's okay for the will of God for us to carry a burden every once in a while. And it's okay for the will of God to request of us that we may be slaves. Remember God's response to Jeremiah as he was leaving? He says, listen, I put them under slaves of Nebuchadnezzar for a reason. He says, but because my people only cling to the hope and love and in life of ease, he says, I will make it more burdensome for them. I will put a yoke of iron about their necks. So, let me pastor for a second. Because a lot of us, we can hear that message and we can go home and say, I ain't never going back to that church again. Because he just preaches all bad things. How hard life's going to be. I never said that. But what I am saying is this. Is that if we try to get out of the will of God by having ease and comfort, which is something that America pushes more than anything else. If we try to get out of the will of God because it's simple or because we're comfortable with it, if we try to do things our own way, it would only make it more difficult for us as a church and for us as Christians. Our yokes of wood will become yokes of iron because we're trying to do things in our own will and not God's will. My last thing. I believe, as a pastor, for us to come to terms with this times of difficulty. You have more than the right to come into this church and I ask, how are things going? You can say, not good, preacher. That's okay. You can come in and say, preacher, I haven't felt God's Spirit in a long time. There is no judgment when somebody tells me that because I have experienced it. You can come through these doors and you can request prayer because you are depressed. And I'm completely okay with that. Listen, and for all those who battle that, listen to this. If we as a church are okay with that, say amen. There are people in this room who are willing to pray with you and help you through the difficulties that you go through. We are the burden bearers. Not burden relievers. We are called to help you through your difficulties. We are not called to relieve you of your difficulties. The true message of God sometimes, and mostly this is my opinion, that the will of an individual seldom lines up with the will of God. As a pastor, as somebody who preaches on a regular basis, it's my job, it's my passion, it's everything to me to get up here and to preach the Word of God. When I have it applied to people's lives, seldom does it line up. When I go to a church, I seldom hear, you know, God wants you to be in a valley. I never hear that. I never hear, you know, God's turning up the furnace. I seldom ever hear about dealing with the sins that we've been given, a thorn in our flesh, so that we may prove that in our weakness that God is strong. When we accept a false lifestyle of nothing but good, no matter how beneficial it is, we will always be worse if it's not what God wants. So I want to ask you this. This is how we're going to close. Well, this lady in my last church, and I've told this illustration before, but it was such, you ever have those moments in your life that'll just stick for you the rest of your life? You didn't know they were coming, and when they came, you just couldn't let them go. So in our last church in Crewe, Virginia, we had a big gravel park, what is that thing called that everybody parks on? Thank you so much. Pray for your preacher. He needs all the help he can get. We had a gravel parking lot. And we heard a car just plummet through it. Gravel's getting thrown everywhere. And nobody has ever come into the church that fast before. And I'm in my house, and I heard it. And so we come out, and it's one of our church members. His name was George. He was driving. His wife, Rose, was in the passenger seat. She had Parkinson's. And it was late-term Parkinson's. Like, it was bad shaking. Like, and they had changed her medication, trying to up it. They upped it too much. It made it worse. They thought that she was dying. She wanted to see me and have prayer with me before she passed. She was shaking so bad that she literally shook out of the passenger seat. I had to catch her. She battled long and hard Parkinson's. Her esophagus got twisted. She couldn't eat. She couldn't drink. She had to go through multiple surgeries on her throat, multiple medication changes throughout her Parkinson's. She couldn't talk. She couldn't sing. She couldn't pray. There was a lot of things that she just could not do, and it racked her body. One of the most blessed things that I'd ever heard come out of a Christian's mouth was out of Miss Rose. If there was anybody who understood physical pain, it was her. She knew it. She lived it. She understood it. And she looked at me as a pastor would look at a congregant, and she says, "Look, only flowers grow in the valley." I've never forgotten. She says, "I'll gladly live in the valley and look at my flowers. On the mountaintops, flowers never grow." And it's true. You go up to a mountaintop right now and you'll see seldom a flower. You go to a valley where it's nice and watered, where all the water flows down and the soil is fresh, you'll see flowers galore. She says, "When I'm in the valley, I can see God's greatness. I can see His goodness and His mercy and His kindness to me. When I'm in the valley, I can know." I want to ask you something. When you bear your burden, do you look for those flowers, that grace, that love, or are you too busy trying to get off of your burden to see God's mercy? I love this message. I seldom hear it preached. And it's one that I hold to. It's made me who I am. That I will gladly bear the burdens of Christ. What He puts in my life, I am more than happy to deal with, whether that be health, whether that be finances, whether that be difficulties with people, whether that be anything that comes my way, I will gladly pick up my chin and walk through it. So, church, I said earlier that it's an individual thing. Us as a people, we can bear each other's burdens, but if we're not willing to ask people, then our burdens are our own. Are you going to be willing to either ask people to help you with your burdens, or are you going to keep your chin up and bear the hardships that God puts in our lives? With every head bowed and every eye closed, as the musicians...